morning, church. I will be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good word. Please join me in prayer. God, we regard your word as holy, as true, and I pray that for every single one of us in here, that would be true Monday through Saturday, that this would not be the only time that we spend with you, that we get to open up your word. If there is any one of us in here in that situation, God, speak a word to us today. We want your word to reign in our hearts, in our lives, all the days of our life. Please speak to us this morning. I pray an anointing over Paul and the words that you will speak, God. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, my love. Well, hello, everybody. Good to see you today. I wasn't here last Sunday. I was on vacation. It was pretty awesome. We went to Garner State Park, and I had a great time. My family had a great time. So Pastor Chris is on vacation now. So I'm here, and I'm really excited to just share, you know, what the Lord has laid on my heart with you. So as I mentioned, we went to Garner State Park. I actually went a couple of days early so that I could spend some time with the Lord and just get to bask in his presence. And then Ceci and our children joined me a couple of days later, and we just had a great time. I got to do I set up we have a little pop-up camper, so I set that up. There it is right there. And then I got to do some kayaking, and it's just absolutely beautiful. The Frio River is just, if you've never been out there, you need to go. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so we just had a really, really good time, and I was really grateful because our children, they all work, and so they were able to get some time off and to be able to go and hang out with us. So that was a lot of fun. And then Sunday, we got ready to head out. And as has been our tradition, we like to get out in time to go get lunch at this place in Medina, Texas. It's called the Apple Store. And so, yes, this store does not have MacBooks or iPads or AirPods. It's actually an Apple store that has everything that you can think of that you would like to eat that has Apple in it. I mean, it's got delicious apple pies and apple strudels and this awesome apple ice cream. Like, we love that. And then they've got these delicious burgers that you can get apple smoked bacon on. How many people are hungry now, right? Yes. Sorry about that. That would have been a really good illustration, have some bacon, you know, smoking over there. But we got all packed up, and as my children are now older, they really did an amazing job in helping us get everything going. And so we decided we're going to head out. We're going out onto the road, and Celeste, our oldest, and our two other, Daniel and Abigail, they decide they want to ride in the van and follow us. I don't know why teenagers don't want to ride with us, but so we're taking the truck, pulling the pop-up, and they're following us in the van, and we get about, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles outside of Garner State Park, and just enjoying, the weather was beautiful, and we got over the bridge, you know, some of those bridges, as most bridges, you have those bumps entering into it, and so we hit that bump, and next thing you know, I hear this crashing sound, and so I look in the rearview mirror, and our pop-up is just dragging down the road. It's just, the sparks are flying, and it's just going, you know, for, it seemed like eternity. I was just driving and looking in the rearview mirror. I didn't know what to do. I was just driving, just watching it follow me, and eventually it stopped, so then I stopped, and then, you know, we pulled over, and we all run out, and we're looking at this pop-up in the middle of the road and thinking, what are we going to do? And so we picked it up and we took it to the side of the road. Thank God. I think the adrenaline gave us all this energy, this strength to move it over. But we did move it over, and the part that goes on the ball, it was damaged. So we tried to get it on there, and we were jumping on the pop-up to try to push it on the ball, and we were like, how are we going to get this thing to latch? And so we're looking for a hammer, and we find a rubber mallet, because that's what you take to go camping, because you just need to hit the stakes, right? So we're using this rubber mallet, banging on this thing, trying to get it on. After about 100 or so swipes, everybody was taking a turn. We got it on there, and it was what we thought was pretty secure. And so we head on to Medina, Texas, because we've earned our burger at this point. And so we make it there, and we're eating, and we're just reflecting on this whole thing, and really it was just amazing, because we got to just start thanking God for what didn't happen, because this pop-up, I mean, it could have gone on the other lane and hit someone. It could have gotten much more damage. We could have been stuck there and not been able to get it back on our hitch. I mean, so many things we were thanking God for, and I had to own up to it being ultimately my fault, because I'm the one that should have checked everything, everybody's work, and you know, that pin went in, and I thought we were good to go, but we weren't good to go. And so we made it home, praise the Lord. And so, of course, as I'm preparing for this sermon, I'm thinking, okay, God, how can I use this incident as an illustration for what you have spoken through the Apostle Paul to Timothy? So I was like, okay, and I got this picture of this camper being the kind of people that Paul is warning Timothy about, that we're going to read in this passage, that this camper is like one of those persons, you know, that has attached itself to maybe their money, maybe their position, maybe to another person, but they haven't actually found the one that can actually keep them secure for the rest of their lives, and that's Jesus Christ. So I see that Paul, you know, he's warning Timothy to avoid those types of people, because when they do come unhitched, all kinds of damage, it can happen. And I see Paul also reminding Timothy that although he will never come unhitched because his faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to exclude him from having to go through that bumpy road of life that we have. And we know that Paul, he's been around long enough to have experienced the very kind of people that he's warning Timothy about, because as Ceci was reading, he talks about being in Antioch and on Iconium and Lystra and all the persecution and the suffering that he endured. And he's reminding Timothy to hold fast to the example that he set for him in the way that he lived his life, to remember what he was taught as a child, and to hold fast to the sacred writings so that he could be strengthened in continuing to do that work that he was called to do, to be that soldier of Christ, to be a worker approved by God. Remember early on at the beginning of Paul's letter, he mentions to Timothy to fan the flame of the gift of God that had been given to him. And now that we enter into this part of his letter, we see why it would be so very important that Timothy keep that flame fanned. Because Paul wants Timothy to know and understand that he's in the last days, just as we are in the last days. In fact, we can read the description again of these people that Paul is making. And he says there in verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And what does Paul tell Timothy to do with such people? He says to avoid them. So yes, when we look at this list, we can see that it's very evident that we too are in these last days. And although Paul does instruct Timothy to avoid them, and I want us to talk a little bit about how we can avoid them, I first want us to consider how we can prepare ourselves for when we encounter them. Because the reality of it is that sometimes these sorts of people that Paul describes, they're not immediately avoidable. Sometimes we will find ourselves in those circumstances that are completely out of our control. And I believe Paul, he understood this, because in his first letter to Timothy, if you remember from reading a few weeks ago, we read through a verse that I think we should read again together so that we can be helped in preparing for handling or being in those situations. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and see what Paul tells Timothy. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." So who are we to do it for? All people. Somebody's holding back. It says there, who? All people. Okay, good, good. So not just the people that we like, but all people. And Paul is telling Timothy to pray for all people just after he has written about some who have shipwrecked their faith, if you remember back in that first letter. So I really believe that when Paul says all people, he means all people. And I have learned over the years when I have been obedient to praying for all people, especially those who have been particularly difficult to pray for, I've seen God do something really amazing in my heart. He has softened my heart towards those people. And not even that, there's been many times where I've sensed the Holy Spirit giving me a perspective that I've never had for that person. And that too is something that's been really amazing when I've been obedient to pray for all people, especially those that are a little hard to pray for. But then Paul goes on to challenge Timothy a little bit further, and he says, giving thanksgivings for all people. Wow. So how do we be thankful for someone who's been described as Paul has just described in the first part of this passage we read? I mean, it's tough to pray for people that are difficult. But I want to ask you a question, a few questions. How many times have you asked God to help you with patience? How many times have you asked God to help you be more loving? How many times have you asked God, oh, please, just if I could just have more self-control? Well, guess what? God uses oftentimes these very people to help you work out the fruit of the Spirit. So you can, if you can't find something to be thankful for in that person, you can at least thank God for working through them to help you realize how much you need Jesus. Amen? So that's kind of how, before we get into this avoiding aspect, I just wanted you guys to think about, you know, first praying for all people and then finding reasons to be thankful for them. But let's get back into what Paul is specifically saying here when he says to avoid such people. And when we look at this word avoid, we see that it comes from the Greek word that means apotrepo, which means to deflect, to turn away from. And Paul instructs Timothy to turn away from such people. But he also understands that in order for Timothy to be able to do that, he needs some discernment. So what does Paul do? Well, in all his wisdom, he decides to give him a case in point where he describes two people who have this appearance of godliness, but not its power. So he names them specifically as Jannes and Jambres. And so although we don't see these names in the Bible in any other place, we can assume that Timothy has heard of them because that's who Paul speaks of. So let's read what it says there in verses 6 through 8. It says, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith." So he talks about Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses. And just to give you a little bit of insight, I'm going to read a portion of my commentary down here. And it says that Jannes and Jambres are the names given in early extra-biblical Jewish writings to the Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses. And in these writings, these men symbolize opposition to God's truth. So let's go back to that account in Exodus 7, and let's see exactly why Paul is using these two people as an example of the type that we should avoid. Beginning there in verse 8 of Exodus 7, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'When Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said." So we see here that these magicians, they were able to perform some of those same acts by their secret arts that Moses and Aaron were able to perform by the hand of God. And if you were to continue reading through that account, you would read about these magicians also being able to make the water from the Nile River turn into blood, just as Moses and Aaron did. you would see that that was the first plague. And then in the second plague, when he made frogs cover the earth, well, these magicians were also able to perform that same act with their secret art. But then it wasn't until the third plague that these magicians were not able to make that dust turn into gnats as Moses and Aaron were by the hand of God. And so they had to come and confess to Pharaoh that it was actually the finger of God that was doing these miracles. So he wants Timothy to realize with this powerful testimony and this teaching that there will be people who can even have the appearances of doing miracles, but they're not all from God. And he wants Timothy to have that discernment, just as he's calling us. We too need to have that discernment, because we'll be around people who have this ability to display godliness, but they're not actually in Christ. And we need to discern the difference. Many of these people Paul describes as having this form of godliness, but they're lacking thereof the true power that comes from Jesus. And I find it interesting the way that Paul describes these people. He says that they're always learning but never arriving to the truth. You know anyone like that? Always learning but never really arriving to the truth. Those are fun people to hang around with, huh? Well, you know, I wanted to kind of get a better understanding of what Paul was describing in this part. So I was doing some research, and I came to this conclusion here as I was gathering some information, and this is what I wanted to share with you. Someone who is learning but never arriving at a knowledge of the truth is the kind of person who acquires information, but they lose it easily. Whereas knowing, someone who really knows, they can be described as someone who has gained a complete awareness of something that can't be lost, it can't be taken away. So Paul is letting Timothy know that by this example, these magicians and the sort of people that he's going to encounter in ministry, that he needs to be careful when someone appears to be godly, but inwardly is opposed to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice he doesn't tell Timothy to argue back with these sorts of people, because Paul already knows what God will do, and he's going to take care of them. It says there in verse 9, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So yes, we need to be able to have discernment when dealing with people in those difficult situations. And also, Timothy's going to need wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And this wisdom that comes from God, it can come from his word, and it can come through people who are being led by the Holy Spirit. And this is the wisdom that Timothy is going to need to avoid such difficult people. Proverbs 14:16 says, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. So no, Paul, he tells him to avoid those people, and instead he says, remember what you witnessed in the way that I lived my life, how I responded to the suffering and the persecution that I endured. And I think that in this particular part of the letter, he's just not holding anything back. It's as if the Holy Spirit is preparing Paul for his imminent death, and he knows he's not going to have much more time to give Timothy the instruction that he needs. So he sets that expectation for Timothy to be prepared, as we read in verse 12, of what is to come from living a godly life. What does he say? He says, there will be persecution. He reminds Timothy to not forget what he was taught as a child by his mother and his grandmother. And he reminds him to hold fast to the scriptures that he was acquainted to as a child. He reminds Timothy of the power of the word, to make one wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he sums it all very neatly in that last verse of 16. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that when Timothy no longer has his friend Paul around, when he no longer has that disciple to be able to encourage him and lead him, he says, look to the Word. Look to the Word to help him persevere in the faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when he encounters these people who oppose the truth, he will be able to discern and he will be able to respond in every situation with wisdom. Church, we too have the blessing of the Holy Scriptures to prepare our hearts and help us to be able to respond with that discernment and with wisdom when we try and we strive to live a godly life. Remember, early on, when we looked at that verse where Paul is urging Timothy to pray and to be thankful for all people, well, if you read a few verses later, he writes to Timothy and he says that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says to Timothy, you need to hold fast to the Word. And so in that same manner, I'd like for us to kind of go over a few verses so that God can help us prepare our hearts as we enter into the holiday season to love others as Christ has called us to love them. So here's a few verses for you to think about. The first one is from Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6, and it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Church, let's remember to treat others with grace. In the book of James, we're reminded to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Let's seek the Lord's wisdom to know how to respond to people. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourself. Church, let's remember to put others before us, because you know what? Even as difficult as they can be, they've been made in the image of God. And then in Romans 5, we can read there, it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let's remember, church, to love others as Christ has loved us, and remember that we too were once lost and we were not saved. What we're going to do right now is we're going to enter into a time of thanksgiving. Jonathan's going to come up and play some music for us, and we'd like to invite you to grab a bulletin, or we have cards. You can just raise your hand, and we'd like you to spend some time and write out what you're thankful for. Maybe it's just that one person that maybe is hard to deal with, but you can find something to be thankful for. Take this time to pray and to thank God for that person. And so as you do that, I'm going to go ahead and lead us in prayer, and Jonathan will continue with the music. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. I thank you, God, that Paul submitted to your Spirit and led Timothy and encouraged Timothy. And in that same way, God, we have the Holy Word to show us what it looks like to live a life that is godly. God, I know that as we enter into this season, we are going to encounter people who will be difficult. And there will be some that we may need to avoid, and there will be others that we can't, God. But by your Spirit, Lord, you can still help us to love them. So God, as your word tells us, that we can remain in that perfect peace because we keep our eyes steadfast on you. God, I pray that you would help this church be a beacon of hope to this world. So Lord, move in our spirits to write down who we are thankful for, how we can be thankful for them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.